All right, you ready to study the Word?
Yes.
All right, y'all got to talk to me. If you have your Bibles, tablet, or phone, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, this New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament there on the right side of the Bible, if you split center. I want to start off by just reminding you that everything that we need to know about righteous living is in the Word of God. It's our standard, it's our source, it's our guide for living. It is appropriate and has instructions for every season in our life. Do you believe that? Every season, including Thanksgiving. It's got instructions about Thanksgiving. And the book of Luke is a record of the teachings of Jesus. If you look through the book of Luke, you're going to just teaching parable after parable after parable. He's just teaching away. Jesus was a teaching machine. He came and he used stories so that we could understand and relate to kingdom truths and principles. That's his method of teaching. Stories called parables. Jesus, even just in the book of Luke, we'll see where he talked about prayer, he talked about demons, he taught about religious leaders, hypocrisy, he taught about repentance and humility, the cost of discipleship, what it looked like to follow him. He talked about restoration and forgiveness, faith and giving thanks, all in the book of Luke. If you want to know about life, Luke can be your guide. Giving thanks is a theme throughout Scripture. Just a couple of them. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him." That's what we just did. With our song we gave thanks to the Lord. Psalm 50:14 says, "My thankfulness, your sacrifice to God. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High." 1 Thessalonians 3:9, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God." Psalm 118:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for he is good, his love endures forever." 1 Chronicles 29:13, "And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." I've got a few questions for you. You don't have to answer this out loud, but here are some rhetorical questions. I just want you to think about them. Are you a grateful person? Do you have thankfulness in your heart? How do you show gratitude to a faithful God? How would we do that? What's God's definition of giving thanks? What does he accept as thanksgiving? And Jesus teaches us what that looks like. And I want us to see what Scripture has to say on how we're to give thanks. The title of this message today is How to Give Thanks. I'm going to ask if you would stand in the honor of reading God's Word. We're in Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11. Before we do, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us through His Word. Would you join me as we pray? Holy Spirit, we declare to you that we need you. Thank you for your presence among us in our worship time. And Lord, now we need you to teach us. And we know that we cannot understand the Word of God apart from the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And so, Holy Spirit, would you reveal and illuminate the truth of your Word to us in ways that we can apply to our lives right now. And Lord, would you use me to bring truth and to feed your people with integrity and grace and love. And God, thank you for everyone who sits in this room today. It's not by accident. Teach us how to give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain standing. Here we go. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 11. And this is the story about that Jesus is telling about 10 healed of leprosy. It says, "As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria.
As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance.
Now, they stood at a distance for a reason, because it was against the law for them to come into the town limit. So they stood at a distance and they cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us."
And he looked at them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now that's important right there. Did you notice how that was worded in Scripture? As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that Jesus, that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God! Praise God!" And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. You have to understand, the Samaritans, they were the outcasts. They were the outcasts. He was the oddball. And Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. If you're taking notes in your worship guide today, here's number one, how do we give thanks to God? We give thanks when we worship. We give thanks when we worship. I want you to look back. Verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Shouting, we picked up, he fell down worshiping, and he thanked him. If you want a simple definition for worship, by the way, if you just want a simple definition for it, it's giving thanks. Pure and simple. Worship is giving thanks. I want you to think about it. Worship is that you've received something from God. You have received something from, so you want to give thanks to him. You worship him. You give him thanks. God is the giver of life, salvation, and everything that's good in your life. God has given it to you. He is your provider. We learned about that last week. Don't you think that's worthy of our gratitude? Don't you think that's worthy of our thanksgiving? Yes. Even if God never did another miracle or never did another thing for you this side of heaven, we should thank him and worship him for who he is and for what he has done. And when you come to an understanding of what he has already done for you, you will want to thank him in worship. You will want to. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Grateful people have grateful praise. Can't wait to do it. Can't wait. You'll want to express your love and adoration to God. And I just want to remind you, when you love someone, you will find a way to express it. When you love someone, you'll find a way to express it. And you might think to yourself, "Well, Pastor, that's not my personality. I'm not good at expressing my love or my emotions or my feelings. I'm not good at that." All right, now let me ask you this. And this is a serious question. Is that what you're going to say to God when you stand before him face to face in heaven one day? Will that be your reason? Because I also want to remind you, if you're a believer, you're already in eternity. You're just on this side of it. You're just on this side of it. But we will worship for all eternity. We don't wait till we get to that side. And he's worthy of expressed praise and love to him. And I just want to tell you this truth. It's the sin of this world that is keeping you from expressing your love and gratitude and thanks to God. It's sin.
Philippians 2:9 says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. You know this passage. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is Jesus. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, and God gave him the name that is above every name. Look at this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's where we live right now, right? And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow. In other words, it is good and right, and we ought to do everything we possibly can to express our deepest gratitude and thanks to God through worship. Don't let your upbringing, don't let your religious traditions be a stumbling block to giving thanks to the King of Kings through love expressed through worship. Don't let it do it. And I know that everyone will not be moved the same way at the same time. I understand that. To give gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Sometimes we'll be moved this way. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Woo! Clap our hands. We shout. We come in with thanksgiving. We'll be moved to do that, and we've done that today. Sometimes we'll be moved this way. In Psalm 95:6, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. At Cultivate Church, it's my desire that we be a people of exuberant praise. I tell you, I just want to be surrounded by people that'll shout and clap their hands and praise God. I'd be all right if we just danced around a little bit. We just made something jiggle, something for the Lord. But then, I want us to be a people that can also give their reverent praise and have no problem bowing a knee and weeping before the Lord. You see the beauty of worship and expression in multiple ways at different times as the Spirit of God moves us. And all that I want to do is I want to lead you to understand what the Bible says and what is appropriate and right ways to express your thanksgiving and your gratitude to God through worship. And then we just get to it. We just get to it. In the Old Testament, there were 11 Hebrew words for praise. There are 7 of them that were dominant. You hear over and over again, 11 total, but 7. I want to share the 7 with you, and then I want to share with you what they mean. So if you're taking notes there, you can write this down. And if you're ever studying, you can know this. The first Hebrew word in Old Testament, todah, which this is fun. This means a Thanksgiving choir. And it literally means a group of singers giving thanks. That's what it means. The second one is barak, and it means to kneel in thanksgiving or to bow down. Okay, it's an expression of thanksgiving. And then there is tehillah. Yeah, gotta be careful how you pronounce that, or you're gonna be praising in a different way. Tehillah. Is sing a song of thanksgiving. That's what it means. And then there's challah. It means to give thanks by being clamorously foolish. And I liked how it worded that. Clamorously foolish. Now, clamorously means noisy, loud, rowdy, shouting. Sometimes it's all right to be a little rowdy in the house of the Lord. Yes? Okay, good. By the way, challah is where we get our word hallelujah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Then number 5, the 5th one is yada, and that means to extend our hands or to lift our hands in thanksgiving. And I love that. I love that freedom to do that. Then there's zamar, which means give thanks using a musical instrument. And then number 7 is shabak. Give thanks with a loud tone. Shout to the Lord. Shout many times, and is the definition. Now, what did you notice in all seven of those words. What did you notice? They're all worship that expresses. They're expressive. They express our love, and they're all about giving thanks. Every single one of them. About giving thanks. All right, now, there's a verse that uses four of the seven words in one verse. I'm going to show it to you. Psalm 104, and this will be a familiar verse to it. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, that is the word todah, which means the thanksgiving choir. All right, so enter into his gates with todah and enter his courts with tehillah. Not tequila, but tehillah. Singing praises. And then it says, be thankful. That's the word yada, which means to extend your hands. And bless his name, barak, which means to bow. All right, now, here's how, with those definitions in play, here's how you could paraphrase that verse. Enter into his gates with a thanksgiving choir and into his courts with singing praises. Extend your hands to him and bow before his name. Isn't that good? That includes it all. It's absolutely a physical response. God wants our worship, and when we worship him in biblical ways, that is saying thank you. That is giving honor to the Lord. Here's the second way. We give thanks through trust and obedience. We give thanks through trust and obedience. Now, look at Luke 17, verse 14. Look at verse 14. It says, he looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. They were not cleansed. I want you to notice. They were not cleansed when Jesus spoke. They were cleansed as they what? As they went, as they obeyed. That's when they were cleansed. They could have said, well, we're not healed yet. Because that would have been logical for them, because they were not allowed to go before the priest with leprosy. Couldn't do it. They couldn't go until after they had been cleansed to show themselves to the priest. So here they are, they have leprosy. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests. I want you to notice that Jesus did not say, go show yourself to the priests and you will be healed. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't tell them that they would be healed. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they obeyed, in the middle of their act of trust and obedience, they were healed. Now, this pattern is all throughout Scripture, by the way. A few weeks ago, do you remember we talked about how Paul and Silas were in jail? And it was before the midnight hour, and here they were. They were worshiping and praising God. They were singing songs to God. After they had obeyed the Holy Spirit. They wanted to go somewhere else, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. So they trolled on, and then they wanted to go somewhere else. And the second time, the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. You have to go to Macedonia. So they go to Macedonia, and then all of a sudden, and they're doing the work of the Lord. They're doing what they were told to do, and they found themselves in jail. But they were praising God. They were giving thanks to God. Why? Here's why. Because they were not hopeless. They knew that God was in control, and they were going to express their gratitude through worship before they were delivered. And we will say it. We'll say it this way. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and for all that you're going to do. You ever use that phrase before? Yeah, me too. We thank you for all you've done and for all that you're going to do. And if you want to show gratitude to the Lord, if you want to show thanksgiving to the Lord, trust him and obey him before you know the why. I want you to look at what God tells us. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "But Samuel replied, 'What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?'" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering the fat of rams. If you want to show God your gratitude, if you want to show him your thanksgiving, obey before and trust him before you know. Now I'm going to put some things together for you, okay? All right, now we know that God is always on the move. Yes? He's always on the move. And God is always working, and he's always inviting us to be in cooperation with him. Yes or no? Yes. God is always doing miracles. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, there he is. He's always inviting us to abandon our agenda and join his agenda. Okay. So no matter what we do, our response, God's always on the move. It says he's looking to and fro around the world, seeking people who will be faithful and obedient to him. You're familiar with that scripture. He's always looking for people to partner with. Okay, now, when we obey, God is then freed to move in our lives. There's permission for God to move in our lives. And God can do miracles when we trust him and obey him. It just releases, it just opens that door and says, "God, I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to let you work and do what you do in my life. I'm just going to trust and obey you." Then God can unleash in your life. He can do miracles if you trust him and obey him. And when God moves in your life, what do you think that automatically does? Wells up in us. Thanksgiving and gratitude. Automatically, when he does that, we're drawn to worship him. Obedience invites a movement of God in your life, and a movement of God in your life will release gratitude through worship. Do you see that pattern? Now, I want you to go with me here. Okay, so put on your thinking caps, because I want to bring some context to this story of the lepers. And I want you to maybe see it in a way that you've never seen it before as it relates to my points. Can I teach you for just a moment? I'm going to go in teaching mode. All right, here we go. When you're reading a passage, it's always good to get some context of what's been happening before and what's happening after when you're studying, when you're reading, okay? And sometimes in your Bible, you know, it has these little headings about like what it's talking about. Sometimes, I'm just going to tell you a trick, you've got to brush through that. You've got to read through it, okay? So it's not intended always to just be these separate little stories, okay? That's the case in chapter 17, although it doesn't automatically look like that when you read it. It looks like a couple little stories, but I want to put some together for you. All right, y'all ready? All right, now, go to the beginning of chapter 17. Jesus is talking about being offended and forgiveness at the top of chapter 17. And it doesn't look like that has anything to do with 10 lepers. Follow me. Here we go. Then he says to his disciples, verse 1, "It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So he's talking to the offender. "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." All right, now he's going to turn and start talking to the offended. Look at this, verse 3. "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." All right, now, here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, "Listen, guys, people are going to offend you. You're going to get offended. You're going to get hurt. But I want you to forgive them. When someone offends you," this is Jesus, "when someone offends you, forgive them." And I could hear, they probably said, "Yes, oh, we can do that. Yes, we can do that. Rebuke, forgive, we got it." So that's what he was saying. Rebuke, forgive, we got it. But then Jesus probably said, oh, wait a minute, there's more. And then he said, if the same guy does the same thing 7 times on the same day, then you still forgive him. Or now that puts a little weight on that forgive, right? And then they said to him, oh, okay, well, we're going to need a little more faith for that. You notice that verse 5. We're going to need some more faith for that. Now, watch what Jesus says next, because it uses the word so in the next. So the Lord said. So this is a continuing conversation. In other words, he's responding to what they just said to him. We're going to need more faith. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed. By the way, how big is a mustard seed? I mean tiny. Tiny, tiny, tiny. So if you have the faith of a mustard seed, just a little bit, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would, watch, it would obey you. Now, many people don't know why this story is inserted right here, but hang on. And he says, verse 7, and which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? And afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he think that the servant, because he did the things that were commanded him, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Now notice he says commanded, not suggested or not asked. And then Jesus says, I think not. So likewise, when you have done all of those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now Jesus is saying this, follow me here. You need to forgive people. Forgive them. Just forgive them. Just forgive them. And they say, well, we're going to need a little bit more faith to do that, like you've described. But he said, no, you don't need more faith to do what I've told you to do. You just need to do what you're told. You following that? He says, faith of a little mustard seed, you can do things. In other words, you don't need a whole lot of faith to do what I'm telling you to do. And then he comes right back in and he says, does a servant get thanked because he did what he was commanded to do? And then Jesus said, I think not. I think not. You follow me now? So he just said to them, and they were walking, he just said all this to them. Okay, they're having this discussion. And then they're walking along the road and suddenly these 10 lepers come up. This is in the same day. Different heading in your Bible, same time. They come up and they say, have mercy on us. And see, here's what I think happened. I think Jesus took a look at those lepers and took a look at his disciples, whom he was just talking about, and says, ha, object lesson. I'm going to make an object lesson here. And he says, okay, watch, and we'll see what happens when you obey. Let's see what happens when you obey. And then Jesus tells the lepers, just go show yourself to the priests. Doesn't tell them why. He just says, go show yourself to the priests. And as they obeyed, they were healed. Do you get the connection of this entire chapter now? They did not say, the lepers didn't say, we're going to have more faith for that. We're going to have a little, you're going to have to help us along a little bit here. You're going to have to explain something to us. You're going to have to open our eyes to see something that we can't see in order for us to do what you're telling us to do. And Jesus says, no, you just do what I've commanded you to do. And if you trust and obey me, boom, I can work. I want you to hear me. If we trust and obey what the Lord tells us to do, we're going to see provision in our lives. And when we see provision in our lives, it produces an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Do you see that pattern? We worship Him. We trust and obey Him. All of us in this room have something to be grateful for, yes? God has provided for us. And if we think about it, we know we can trust him because God has never given us a reason to truthfully believe that he will not provide for our future. He has never given you a reason to believe that. He will never let you down. He's never done it. He never will. He doesn't know how to. But here's Satan's plan. Satan wants us to forget what God has done for us. And I tell you, our memories are so short. We've got the memory of a goldfish. And sometimes that's good, but sometimes when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's bad. Can you look over your life and see where the hand of God has provided for you? Can you look over the course of your life and see it? Even if you don't think he's providing for you right now, can you look over the span of your life and see where God has provided for you? The answer in this room is yes, if you look hard enough. Now let me ask you this. Do you think he's only worthy of praise for the latest thing he did for you? Or maybe just this year's blessings? Or is he worthy of praise and gratitude for how he's provided for you over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years? Now just imagine, fast forward a little bit in your imagination. Just imagine one of these lepers that Jesus healed 30 years later. And here he was, these lepers, they were, you see, what we don't understand what leprosy is. It is so debilitating, but it was ostracizing for them. I mean, they were cut off from everything. They had no life, no hope. I want you to imagine that just for a moment. Now, Jesus heals them. Think about some time has passed. They probably went on with their life and their careers. They were able to have families. They were able to experience things like normal people would experience. They were healed from this debilitating disease that would have taken their life and cut them off. Do you think that when the leper 30 years later might, in the occasion that he might pass Jesus on the streets, that he would have forgotten that life-changing provision that Jesus did for him all those years ago? And not have bothered to mention it at all? Do you think that would have been the case? No. It would have been totally appropriate to thank him again and express his gratitude for what he did all of those years ago. Now, if you've been saved, it doesn't matter if it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago. Jesus completely delivered you from eternity in hell and grave, and he gave you a hope and a future. Don't you think he's still worthy of praise and thanksgiving today just as he much was the day that he saved you? Don't you think? Don't let the enemy tell you that God has abandoned you and has never done anything for you. Don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you what difference does it make on how you live now. He's not doing anything. He's not going to do anything. Do not let the enemy lie to you in that way, because that's a lie from the pit of hell. When we trust God for our future and obey him, even when we don't understand, even when we cannot see, even if he doesn't say, I'm going to heal you or provide for you for what you want, even if he doesn't say that, if we trust and obey, he will always provide for us his way, and his way is always better than our way. And he will do miracles in our lives when we do things his way. We give thanks when we worship. We give thanks when we trust and obey, even when we don't